Hey, Pepsi. Also got some new discounting happening on Tesla vehicles in Europe, a couple of updates on things Elon Musk has done and said, and a few other items as well. Tesla stock on the day today, another underperformance down 4.7%, shaking off the overperformance that we had yesterday, closing at $150.23. PE ratio for Tesla has now fallen to 46 times earnings. The Nasdaq today was down just 1% on the day. Was another high volume day for Tesla today, especially for a Friday. 136 million shares traded, which I think would be the third highest volume day this year, with the exception of or coming in third place after Tuesday and Wednesday earlier this week. So high volume continues. I guess we returned to form for watch. We did have the overperformance yesterday, but we'll see what happens next week in that regard, I guess. On next week, in terms of macro news or macro things to watch, we will have the personal consumption expenditures report, PCE, on Friday. Of course, we'll have jobless claims and new home sales to look forward to as well. And from a Tesla perspective, Elon Musk has agreed to an interview with Lex Fridman that may happen next week as well. Also, next week, we may get for FSD Beta version 11. So I guess don't put too much stock in this since we've, had a few of these timelines that have slipped a little bit with version 11. So we'll see on that. Tesla owner Silicon Valley asking if that would still be before Christmas, and Elon saying next week, and I think Christmas is next Sunday. So we're coming up on that. If not, maybe the week after. I'm sure Tesla's really trying to get that out before the end of the year. All right, moving into the updates on Tesla Semi. So we've got an update here from Reuters. Make sure I can get this up here. So Reuters is reporting some updates from Pepsi. They've made some comments on the Tesla Semi. They say that they plan to roll out 100 Tesla Semis in 2023. So, we haven't had really firm volume numbers. We heard Robin Denholm talk about Tesla maybe trying to produce 100 this year. We don't know if all of Tesla's production is going to Pepsi right now. Certainly, though, it looks like next year they'll start to broaden out to more customers with Tesla or with Pepsi planning to receive 100. Tesla's production should easily exceed that for next year. Pepsi did say that they're planning to purchase them outright. We'll come back to another comment in there in a second. And they did say that right now their plans are to deploy 15 trucks from Modesto, 21 from Sacramento. Of course, that leaves a significant, two-thirds of their total that they plan to take delivery of without a destination or without a location. So they do say that they're targeting rolling out the semis in the central United States yet, which I'm excited about because it might be a while before I see one. Hopefully that'll speed that process up a little bit, and then on the East Coast. So we'll see on that. They had some comments on range and things like that, and this one is pretty interesting. It's a little bit confusing. So let me see. So this is PepsiCo's Vice President Mike O'Connell. And in an interview with Reuters, he said that the semis can haul Frito-Lay food products for around 425 miles, but for heavier loads of sodas, the trucks will do shorter trips of around 100 miles. I don't know. Obviously, we've seen Tesla demonstrate the full 500-mile range with the full payload capacity, so I'm not really sure what O'Connell is talking about in this case. It seems a little bit odd that he would mention that. And then, of course, Reuters follows that up with a quote from Oliver Dixon at Guidehouse, which many of you may remember. That's formerly Navigant Research, which has published the, infamous autonomy grid in terms of the progress and potential and things like that. So, anyway, of course they throw a couple of quotes in from him, but yeah, I don't know why he would kind of make that comment. It's a little bit weird. I was thinking maybe they've got shorter range semis that are for those shorter trips, but they do say that all of the semis that Pepsi is going to be taking delivery of will have the 500-mile range. So interesting, we know Tesla from what they talked about at the semi delivery event can obviously do more than 100 miles with those full loads, but unfortunately not reflecting that way from the comments here from O'Connell. I did also have to kind of raise my eyebrows a little bit at another comment, so coming back to this one. He said that they have installed four 750 kilowatt chargers at Modesto and Sacramento. So we've talked about both of those. But the 750 kilowatt number threw me off a little bit too, because obviously at the delivery event, Tesla talked about how they should be able, the Tesla semis capable of charging at 1 megawatt plus. So 750 kilowatt charger doesn't really fit with that. And then later on, he also talks about how on these 425 mile trips, the battery runs down to roughly 25 or roughly 20%, and then takes about 35 to 45 minutes to recharge, which those things all in isolation are great, and sounds like what we'd expect from the semi, and obviously that's great, but it is doesn't really fit with the 750 kilowatt comments. The math on that, if we assume the pack for the semi is around 900 kilowatt or 900 kilowatt hours, then that only adds I think 45% or 45% in 35 minutes at 750 kilowatts, or 63% in 45 minutes at 750 kilowatts. So if you're going from 20%, you're adding 45 to 63%, you're talking about 65 to 83% recharged too, which really doesn't make a lot of sense if you're talking about 425 mile trips, which would take about 80% of Tesla's full battery capacity on the Tesla Semi. So, long-winded way of saying I don't think this number is accurate from O'Connell, and it also kind of calls into question some of these other comments about doing, shorter trips of 100 miles. I'm sure that that will get a lot of attention, unfortunately, but it, there are some other things in here that don't quite add up. So, just wanted to point out some of those things. I think O'Connell probably, at the level that he's at, probably has a rough idea, a vague idea of kind of what's going on with the semi, and we don't have the exact quotes here, so Reuters may be taking some liberties with how they're reporting this. But yeah, just wanted to point out some of those things. Lastly, then he did say that the Tesla will not help pay for the truck for the mega chargers, but they did provide design and engineering services for the facilities, which do come with solar and battery storage systems. So kind of a whole setup there for the mega chargers, but Pepsi paying for the chargers as well as we said earlier, the trucks outright. So some pretty interesting details there, but unfortunately probably mired down in some of those other comments. All right, moving on to the discounting that I had mentioned, we do have some new discounts popping up on inventory vehicles for Tesla in Europe. So it looks like they're ranging anywhere from about 2 to 4,000 euros or so on pretty much across the board throughout Europe and in a variety of different countries. This is not inconsistent from Tesla for prior quarter ends, especially year end periods of time, to be discounting inventory, especially if this is sort of storeroom inventory, if Tesla's trying to, close that inventory gap a little bit between what the production number and the delivery number ends up being. We're getting here down to the wire here in the last couple of weeks, and Tesla's historically done a lot like that. But anytime we're seeing this discounting in the face of this period of time where there's a lot of questions around Tesla's demand levels, primarily that is happening in China. But with uncertainty on where China production is right now and why Tesla might be, possibly slowing that down, if there's more opportunity for sales in Europe, then we come and we see some discounting in Europe. That's, the market's going to have some concerns about that, whether it's justified or not. It's just kind of, what the situation is. And then I think when we get, some things like this from Elon today talking on Twitter about how Tesla is executing better than ever, and in terms of the stock price, we don't control the Federal Reserve. That is the real problem here. So on this point, I think there's a mix, right? Like I do think that some of the things, clearly with Elon selling, that has impacted the stock. I've seen people point out the underperformance that Tesla has had since sort of mid-October when the Twitter deal started to close. Tesla has significantly underperformed. Elon has sold. Of course, he's had a lot of ongoings on Twitter and things like that. But at the same time, that's right the exact time when we saw Tesla lower prices in China and when a lot of the concerns around demand started to creep in. So I think people are kind of pointing to Elon and saying, it's 100% on you. I think that that has contributed some of those actions, but personally, I think that the market is really concerned about demand right now with those shorter backlogs, with the prices coming down, with the discounts being added. And I think comments like this from Elon, where he continues to talk about macro challenges and continues to talk about the Federal Reserve being a problem and how they need to lower rates, I think the market's going to interpret that as, Elon saying that the market is not good, and that is going to reflect on how the market is viewing Tesla demand. So anyway, long-winded way of saying that, when we continue to see these discounts, whether they're really all that meaningful or not, in terms of the market's perception of it and the reaction, I do think that we're seeing a pretty significant impact from those demand concerns, at this point in time. Again, justified or not. All right, moving on from that, we do have an updated note here from Morgan Stanley. So they talk about how Tesla has fallen below $500 billion market cap for the first time since November 2020. And they're doing some comparisons between, I think this is kind of fun, their expectations at the last time that Tesla was at this level, and now. So, full note here, I'll just kind of scroll through. You can pause if you really want to read that. But I think probably the most interesting part of this is their charts that they have here at the bottom. So if we look here, uh-oh, zoomed out. If we look here at their earnings estimates and their revenue estimates and things like that, we can see that their estimates for 2025, 2 years ago versus now, have changed significantly. So they used to expect $118 billion like 2 years ago. That was their expectation for 2025 revenue. Now that's increased significantly, probably 40% or so here. That's probably really bad off mental math, but significant increase here, up to $186 billion for revenue, their current expectation. EBITDA, they expected $27 billion back in 2020 for 2025. Now they're up to $41 billion in their expectation there. And free cash flow, again, up in that 75% range or so, higher than their expectation last time Tesla was at this value. So you can see here, just kind of summarizing that up, their valuation based on what they would have expected earnings to be back in 2020 would have put Tesla at 18 and a half times those earnings. And now, based on their new earnings forecast, Tesla's only trading at 11 times, 12 times their earnings expectations for that point in time. So we've talked a lot about this over the years, where we've pretty consistently been in a case where analysts have always underperformed or always underexpected, underforecast what Tesla accomplishes. And that just has led to them continuing and continuing to raise things. And kind of like what we talked about here with with this discounting and demand concerns, things like that have been what have caused that over time. The market just hasn't believed in the demand story. They haven't believed in the production growth story either. And Tesla's surprised them in that regard. And that's led to these expectations increasing over that period of time. So if Tesla can kind of get back to that and, ease these concerns that I think are in the market right now, they'll start to get a lot more credit for that as that materializes. So just kind of interesting to see how those, expectations have changed over time and obviously have risen since that period of time, when Tesla was last at this price. And ultimately it's a good thing because when, I guess sort of misphrasing there, but it's a good thing that Tesla is continuing to outperform these expectations, and it's a good thing that the multiple is in a place where Tesla can hopefully, going forward, continue to beat these expectations, which have clearly come down in the last, few months. So from that regard, a lot of opportunity to outperform where maybe some of those expectations, although I think have still been low, have certainly risen in that period of time as we, as can be demonstrated here. All right, last couple of things here. So an update from Joe Tegmeyer here from some of his drone footage for today. He's been keeping a close eye on anything Hydra, GigaPress, 9,000 ton related, and seeing some boxes in the casting area for Giga Berlin, or sorry, for Giga Texas, that are now marked Hydra. He's seeing some equipment here that, may be a part of that machine. So looks like some of that stuff may be finally hitting Giga Texas, which is super exciting. And we know from a previous Hydra video that once the equipment does arrive here at Giga Texas, should take about a month for assembly. So hopefully that is, this is a part of that 9,000 ton press. And if that is the case, hopefully we kind of see that up and running in mid-January. And then lastly here, I just put a stock photo of an interview because I wanted to not forget to mention that over the weekend I will be publishing an interview, which I'm excited to share. It's from the sort of the early days of Elon and PayPal and kind of walking through some of that story. So excited to share that this weekend. I know I don't usually have weekend episodes, so just wanted to Remember to point that out, and yeah, tune in over the weekend. And that'll wrap it up for today. So, as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you this weekend. Otherwise, resume normal episodes on Monday for the December 19th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.